Thank you. Good morning. Thank you very much for your prayers. They are much appreciated. God is speaking to us this morning, I think quite clearly. Shall I just keep speaking and we'll try and, I'll keep going. I think quite clearly, I've got a question for you to ponder, to think, just as we start, which really has been along the lines of what God has been saying to us, which is this: how do you approach God? And I presume you do. You're all here, so in some ways you do. In how do you come to God in prayer, in worship, in church, and whether that, you know, this is your first time in church or you've been 1,000 times. Because the important thing, it's not how do you think you should approach God, but how do you actually approach God? Because I know many of you know the right answer. But that's not the point. How do you come before God? Do you come like he's kind of a head of state that you're coming before? Or maybe like a close friend or an acquaintance? Maybe like he's your boss, your employer? Maybe like he's your employee to come before? Or a service provider that you want to get something from? Maybe you come to him like he's a king, or your local MP, or a life coach, or maybe you come to him like he's a child, or maybe like he's the police. Be honest with yourself. Just think it through. How do you think you come before God? As Steve said, we're starting a new preaching series this morning on prayer, and we're going to work through the Lord's Prayer together. And while we will look a bit at like how to pray, and kind of some of the mechanics and how to pray. The real heart behind preaching this is not to help us to pray more accurately or more eloquently, but to help us and to stir us to pray more, to come before God in prayer more. The church right now in the UK doesn't really need more programs or more events or more ideas. We need more intimacy with God. We need more hunger for God, closeness to God, and that comes through prayer. So whatever, you know, you might, again, whatever quiet or loud revival is or isn't happening, however many people are going to church every week, that is the need for the church in the UK. It's for more intimacy with God. And there's a moment in the Gospels when Jesus' friends, who saw, right, how he had lived his entire life, so they saw everything about how he lived, all that he did, and they had seen Jesus praying in a certain place. And imagine seeing that. Imagine seeing, watching, and hearing Jesus pray to God. The Son come. Imagine just being in the presence of that. It's kind of no surprise that one of them came to Jesus and said, "Teach us to pray like that." Now, do you think when he said that he was thinking just the kind of the eloquence of your wording there, the way you did kind of adoration and confession and thanksgiving and supplication, and the way you transitioned from your prayer points was just really amazing. Can you teach us the mechanics of how you did that, Jesus? Or do you think he meant just seeing the intimacy that Jesus experienced with God the Father and was saying, I want some of that. It's not so much about, like, again, the intonation and the details of what exactly is said, but just something of the aura and the experience. I don't know if you've ever experienced something similar. I certainly have, where you see someone praying. You kind of hear someone praying, you're in their presence, and you just think, I want what that person is having. I want some of that. Some of that, like, real heart, the hunger in those prayers. I want some of that. The extent to which the disciples must have seen that in Jesus. So that's the heart behind this series, is to stir us to be in God's presence through prayer more often. Because prayer will do us good. It will do you good. It will do me good. It will do us corporately good if we are praying. One of the things we're going to do through this series is we produce these little prayer diaries, which you'll be given as you go out this morning and the kind of the basis of what we've been preaching in, and something to pray every day, Monday through to Saturday, and then you can come and be here again. So just to get us praying and to help us practically, we thought like, oh, should we do a QR code, put it on social media? But we deliberately thought, no, let's just print it out, because I don't know what you're like, but if I have to go on my phone to find something, then I'm just going to open BBC Sport or something else. But so just the paper, you can put it in your Bibles, you can stick it on your fridge, just there to help you, to encourage us to be praying together. Haven't, we'll also be praying along with us. I'm going to be reading from Matthew chapter 6. If you have a Bible, do turn there. It will come up on the screen. Always good to keep it open in front of you. Jesus is speaking in the Sermon on the Mount, and he says, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." It's how Jesus teaches us to pray. So the correct answer to the question I ask, how do you approach God, is, as many of you know, approach God as our Father in heaven. That's the right answer, how we should, not always how we do, but about how we should. And so helping us to do that more, he's encouraging his followers to pray to and to approach God just like he does. That is stunning. He's saying, yeah, the way I approach, hey, you should do the same. Well, I come to God, that's how you should. Now, I'll come back to that. But another question for you to ponder is, why do you think that you will be heard when you pray? And not just because God is all-knowing, and so he knows it. But why do you think God would actually incline his ear to really hear you pray? You see from verse 7 in this passage that Jesus rebukes the pagans because the reason they think they will be heard, it says, they think they will be heard because of their many words. So they think, because they are praying impressive and long prayers, they can go on for ages, therefore God is going to hear them. Jesus is saying, that's rubbish. That is not why God is going to hear. And also worth noting, a helpful kind of line, a guy called Christopher Rash, he's written this 4-volume commentary on the Psalms, which is the book of prayer, the book of praise. And he says this: we delude ourselves if we think God will obviously listen to what we say to him. Of course he's right. We're kidding ourselves if we just assume, of course God would listen to me. as if he is accountable to us, right? As if, like, he answers to us. The sense in which, who do we think we are? What makes us think that God would listen to us? It's easy to just assume it, right? And I know it's easy to just assume he will, but we do that at our peril, that God would listen. Now, he does, and the clearest answer, the most concise answer, and really summary of why on earth God would hear our prayers is in Ephesians 2, verse 18, which says, "For through Christ we both," that's Jew and Gentile, everyone, "for through Christ we both have access to the Father by one Spirit." We do not get the privilege of God hearing our prayers in our own right, coming on our own and assuming that he's going to listen and even answer our prayers on our own. And we certainly don't get the privilege of approaching God as our Father in our own right, just because, like, oh, that's nice, that's the way he... It is all and only through Jesus. It is only through Jesus that we can come. We have access through Christ to the Father by the one Holy Spirit. Only through Christ do we have access to the Father. We can't come on our own. It's not just, if it's good enough for Jesus, then it's good enough for me. If he can do it, then I can do it. No, there's a big difference between Jesus and us. But he came, the righteous, to give himself for the unrighteous in order to bring us to God. Because he came, we can now approach God as our Father in heaven. It is through the Son, it's by the Spirit that we are invited to come to God as our Father. Again, what God has already been speaking to us about this morning, this invitation. We can't do it without Jesus. We can't do it without the Spirit. Romans 8, 14 to 17. We don't just approach God like he is our Father and like we are his children. We actually are. We actually are his children. It says this, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive doesn't make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory." We get intimacy, the like of which Jesus enjoyed with his Father. It's remarkable that we could have that. But it is all and only because of and through and in Jesus. This is Romans 8. Romans 1 to 7, a whole lot of work's been done on clarifying it is all because of Jesus that we are able to have this. And throughout, it's very clear in Romans 8, again, it is because of him that we can come in this way. Also, that's true for the psalmists, by the way, who wrote their psalms. Even they were looking forward to a mediator. Kind of whether they knew it all the time or not, but it is certainly only true that their prayers were heard because of Christ who was to come. It's the only way that we can be heard, that God can meet with us. So Jesus invites us to approach God as our Father, but we must never forget that we are only there because of Jesus. We come in Jesus' name to our Father. Again, Tim said it, we've heard it already. He said this, we come to Jesus with what we've got and Jesus does the rest. But we must come to Jesus, right? We can't, there's no other way to get to the Father. So all this means that it's only through Jesus, but it is through Jesus that we can come. It means that we need both more confidence in approaching God and more reverence. We need to come more confidently as well as more reverently because it is only through Jesus. Put it the other way, we need less hesitation to come before God, and we need less presumption. So don't come hesitantly, but don't come presuming on God as if kind of you've earned yourself the right for him to hear you. All of that, you could say, is pretty perfectly summed up in saying, our Father in heaven. Right? We come to our Father, we come confidently, but we remember, he is the God of heaven. So we come reverently. We come in Jesus' name, and we come to the God of heaven. Jesus told a story very famously, which helps us to understand who God is as our Father in heaven. In this story, there's a father who has two sons. And one of them, the younger one, approaches the father on two occasions in the story, and he gets it wrong on both occasions, but in two very different ways, as we'll see. So the first time he comes and approaches his father, and there is no reverence, and there is a lot of presumption in the way. And he simply says, he comes to his father and says, Father, give me my share of the estate. Give me my inheritance, is how he comes. Now, I mean, you know, if you know something about the context back then and the way that fathers and parents were honored, you know, but you don't really need to have to know that. Just think about that in our own context. Think about a son coming to a father and saying, I want my inheritance now because I want to run away from you. I want to take your money and I don't want you. I want stuff from you. I don't want you. And I want to go and take my inheritance. Now you're as good as dead to me. I just want the stuff. It's utterly irreverent. It is very full of presumption. I don't know if we ever pray to the God of heaven like that. We ever come again, like he is a service provider. Just, you give me this stuff. This is how it works. You give me stuff. Like he is an employee. That we would demand things. Coming to him and not wanting him at all, but wanting stuff from him. Wanting help from him. For all that we should approach God as our Father intimately, and we should, we must never presume on him. When we pray, we can and we should ask for things, but primarily we are coming to be with God, not to get stuff from God. We must not forget who he is. He is our Father, but he is still the God of heaven. He is always and he is still holy, holy, holy. When angels are in his presence, they have two wings which are devoted to covering their faces because of his holiness. And they just call to each other, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. That is who we're approaching in prayer. He is really big. He is mighty and majestic, and he can do what he likes with us. We should fear him. We should fear God. And he has not changed from the God. That's in Isaiah, you read about that. He is the same God right now. He does change us so that we can approach him, but he doesn't change. The Son came down, he did come down, but in order to raise us up so that we could be with him. He has changed us. The next line in the prayer is, hallowed be your name. It is glory. It's this sense, you get it, of the God of heaven. I don't know if you've ever been somewhere where you can't quite believe that you're there? That little bit of imposter syndrome, and you just, I just can't believe I get to be here. Now, this is a really, really silly example, but it is a real one. This is just me being honest, right? So, not this week, the week before, I mentioned actually the prayer meeting, I was sat in Terry Virgo's lounge, and he's just a man of God, and many of you know him, who I just admire a lot. And I was just sat in his lounge, chatting with him, and praying with him, and eating a hobnob. And I'm sitting there, to be honest, thinking, I just can't believe I'm here still. I can't believe this is happening, really, that I'm in Terry Virgo's lounge and chatting with him and eating a hobnob and praying with him. You see, that's a very, very silly example. Now, we should be confident in God's presence, but we should never really lose that sense, a little bit of imposter syndrome, of, I can't believe I'm here. I can't believe I get to be in God's presence. And every time we think that, we are reminded, oh, it's all because of Jesus. It's all and only because of Jesus that I'm here. And it stirs us to worship Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that I get to be here in the presence of God. Jesus and all in him is mine, we sang. That it's because of Jesus and I get to be in the presence of God. We always need forgiveness every time we come before God to pray. So awe and appreciation should mark all of our praying. Should be at the core of it. You might have thought, I think I'm going to get it wrong, the praying thing. I think I've done that. I think I've presumed on God. I think I've approached wrong. Of course you have, right? And of course you will. We're all going to get it wrong. John Calvin, a famous theologian, says that some of our prayers will be stupid. That's his word. That our prayers, of course they will. Do you know, God is very, 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 very gracious. And he can handle it. Of course he knows that we come before him and don't get it right all the time. He is so gracious to us, and he's fine with that. He is very kind. We come to this God of heaven, and we come to our Father. Now, I'm aware that many in this room will have had terrible fathers. And so just thinking of God as our Father isn't hey, lovely. It may not be easy. Fatherlessness is one of the greatest problems in our modern society. I'd say God's heart is especially towards you, if that is you. It says I just read this week, Psalm 68, verse 5, a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. What an echo of the Lord's Prayer that is. A father to the fatherless is God in his holy dwelling. His heart is towards you. It might be that your heavenly father just contrasts with your earthly one. And in some ways that can help you to learn about the heart of God. My earthly father was distant. My heavenly father is so close. My earthly father was abusive. My heavenly father is so kind. It can help you. The reality is none of us are perfect fathers. We're all learning how our heavenly father is good in a way that no earthly father has been. And in the story I said that Jesus was telling, the son got what he wanted, right? He got given his share of the estate. It definitely wasn't what he needed. And I think there's probably a lesson there in terms of our prayers. Sometimes what we want is actually not what we need at all. Often that's probably the case. And he went and spurned it and ended up just, he kind of wasted it all and got to a point where he's eating with pigs. He just gets to eat whatever the pigs get to eat. He is brought to the low of lows. No one would give him anything. No one had any pity for him. It says that Jesus said he came to his senses And he realized, whilst eating with the pigs, that his father's servants have got plenty to eat. He's really hungry. The people who just work for his dad have got plenty. So maybe he thought, maybe I'll be able to go and just work for my dad. And I'll get a job and become one of his servants. And he prepped this speech where he's going to say, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm obviously not worthy to be your son, but please can I be one of your servants?" was he going to say in this speech. Now, for the father to even allow that would have been really gracious after what he's done, after how he's been. For the father to say, "Yeah, actually, you can come back. I'll welcome you back. You can have a job," would have been a real grace. And so just imagine the doubts in his mind as he's walking back to his father to make this request. And when he gets there, the father spots him and runs to him. And it says, filled with an emotion. You think, what is it, like fury? Is it anger? Is it frustration that he just can't believe he's dead to come back? No, the father runs to him filled with compassion for his son. And he throws his arms around his son and he kisses him. And his son tries to get this speech out. "Father, I've sinned against heaven and earth. I'm no longer worthy to be called one of your servants. Please make your sons, please make me like one of your servants." The father basically just ignores him totally. And he says, "Get the best robe. Get a ring for his finger. Get some new sandals for his feet. Kill the fattened calf. Let's have a massive party because this son of mine who was lost and he would run away and who I haven't seen for years has come back. And I can be with him and embrace him again." However you answer that question, however you approach God, that is how God approaches you. That is you. We are all, if you are in Christ, you are the son in that story who God is so pleased to see, so pleased to welcome in. Every single time we come before him in prayer, he is so excited to see us. He is so excited to be with us. The first time you see, right, the son gets it wrong by being way too irreverent in how he approaches the father. The second time he gets it wrong by being way too hesitant. He does not understand the heart of his father. Maybe it's a good example of a stupid prayer that the father basically ignores when he says, "Please, can I, you know, yeah, whatever. I'm just so excited to see you, my son." We say, "I don't deserve to be your son," but he says, "Because of Jesus, you are my son. You are my daughter." It is wonderful. John 1:12 says, "To all who did receive Jesus, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." We talk a lot about rights in this world and in this cultural moment, rights to a whole host of things. The Bible doesn't do that much. We have the right to life, and for those who believe in Jesus, we have the right to become God's children. No one can take that away. So we're not actually imposters. We actually have every right to be here. It is still all of grace. It is all the grace of the Father, the grace of Lord Jesus to go to the cross. But if you have received him, you are welcome and you are allowed to be in God's house. One theologian says, "Christians are people who talk to God like they are Jesus Christ." That's who we are. We are in Jesus. We can have all that he has. We are children just like he is. Actually, I feel maybe you are not a believer. You haven't put your faith in Jesus. I just want to take a moment, give you a chance to do that right now, so that you can be with your Father in heaven. Maybe if we could just all close our eyes. If that's you, you think, yeah, maybe you used to be in the fold, in the household, and you've run away. And you know, I want to come back to my Father. And you've heard of how he's going to welcome you. You've been hesitant because you think, I can't. But this is how he welcomes us. I just pray, and you can pray along with me in your heart. Father in heaven, thank you for your amazing welcome, your amazing invitation, your amazing grace. Thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, which means that we can come boldly to you. Or we repent of our sin. We're aware of it. And we know it matters because Jesus went to the cross to pay for it. And Father, we thank you for your grace, which is greater, that allows us to come in. And God, we say we want to be your children in Christ. Amen. Amen. It all means this, that we are invited to come to God with real honesty, with real rawness, really. Life is hard, right? And sooner or later, things will be difficult. Right now, for many, that's the case. What a gift prayer is. What a gift prayer is, that we can approach God. We're always coming to our Heavenly Father, and we are encouraged to come with our baggage, with our mess, and with our questions. We can't actually come any other way. We're encouraged to come with that. It might be the main thing that Jesus doesn't want is for us to come pretending that we don't have any. That's the thing he really doesn't want. Don't come praying like pretending you haven't got any issues. Come with them. Bring your prayers to God. The Psalms are such a great model for awe and worship and thankfulness alongside a really raw and sometimes offensive honesty. You read through, you think, I don't think I would pray like that some of the ways. Luther says the Psalms run through the Lord's Prayer and the Lord's Prayer runs through the Psalms. They're a great way to do it. Just a quick example, Psalm 89, right? This Psalm starts, I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. That's how we expect Psalms to go. That's how we expect them to, and that's good. I will declare your love, that your love stands firm forever. That's the beginning. And then you get towards the end, the very same psalm. And this is prayer to God. But you have rejected, you have spurned. You've been very angry with your anointed one. It goes on, how long, Lord? Will you hide your face forever? How long will your wrath burn like fire? Remember how fleeting is my life, for what futility you have created all humanity. I don't know that I pray with that level of honesty, that level of just realness. I think God wants us to err towards honesty over silence. I'm confident of that. He knows it anyway. That's the logic of the Son. He knows your heart, and actually, better than you do, and as you come and pray, as you are honest and really speak it out and are real with God, you get to know what you actually think. Like, you're behind him. He knows what you think better than you do. And prayer is a way to do that. So it matters how we approach God, primarily because it matters that we approach God. If we understand how it is we come before God, we are going to want to come a lot more. We are going to want to be in his presence more. Come more freely and come more often to God. Pray on your own. Don't miss prayer meetings to pray with other people. Pray. I'm so grateful for this opportunity to go on sabbatical. It's just a huge privilege. I don't think it's a right in any way. It's a real gift. And you can call me naive. I might maybe have such too big expectations. But I am praying that I get a brand new prayer life through this. That is totally new. A new level of intimacy with God. I know intimacy with God to some extent. I want a new level. It might be a bit unrealistic, but hey, if you want to pray, then you can pray those things for me. I would love that and appreciate that. I'm praying that the life of this church continues to burn, and the prayer life continues to burn, and the heat is turned up. It's what I need, and it's what this church needs, is a higher desire, more desire for God. God longs for you to come before him. It's summed up in Hebrews 4:16. How do we approach God? Because we have a great high priest in Jesus, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. It is a throne. He is the king over all, and it is a throne of grace. So come with confidence. If the band could come up. I'm just going to spend a bit of time approaching God. Again, we've heard it many times, Olaf bringing it earlier. The invitation is to come. That's what God is inviting us to do this morning. So maybe if we could stand. When the band are ready, you can start playing. That would be helpful. And we're just going to approach God again. Again, it may be helpful if we all close our eyes. And let me encourage you now, approach God, come to God. Think about how it is you get to come. Think about what Jesus has done for you. And maybe even just start to, you can speak out a prayer, or maybe just in your mind, just come before him with what you have, what is on your heart. For many, it would be blindingly obvious. As you come this morning, there's a burden that you carry, and this is the thing you want to just bring before God. I encourage you to just bring it to him. Be honest with him as your Father who is in heaven. Just approach him. His arms are open wide. He runs to you and he embraces you and he kisses you and he celebrates that you're coming to him. His love for you is not in question. The cross is the proof. It's not just all talk. It's real. Just again, if you want, you can speak out, or you can just think it out and just be real. Maybe you're just full of gratitude. Just express that. Maybe you are full of questions. Maybe, how long, O Lord, is your question? What is going on, O Lord, might be your question. Heavenly Father, I ask that you would draw near to us now. Would you, the psalmist says, would you draw near to my soul? Would you draw near to our souls, to the core of our being? Oh, Jesus, we thank you so much
for your great sacrifice for us. That means that we can boldly approach the throne of grace. Help us, I pray, Father, help us to come more confidently and more reverently, to not hesitate to come into your presence, whatever day we've had, whatever week we've had. Lord, I pray, make us a people who come before you. Help us to take it all to the Lord in prayer. Help us to be a people who call on you to answer us. We have the boldness even to come and say, answer me, O Lord. Answer me. According to your steadfast love, answer me. Lord, I pray for boldness in prayer to rise. Even as we go through this season and preach through this, Lord, would you just stir something, unlock something in us. Turn up the heat, I pray, for a passion to come before you in prayer. And I pray for breakthroughs. Thank you for many breakthroughs that we see in our lives through prayer. I pray for breakthroughs to come. I pray right now as people are presenting their requests to you, Lord, and coming with confidence and with reverence, Lord, I pray, come and answer prayers. Come and bring breakthrough. The God of breakthrough is on our side, we sung. So God, we pray, come and bring breakthrough. Just give it another couple of minutes. Just bring your prayers. And in a couple of minutes, we're just going to sing a chorus and of how we get to boldly approach. But just encourage you now, take the initiative yourself. Walk towards the Father. Come to your senses. And come back to the Father.